afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today, Monday, May 22nd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, I'm going to tell the listeners we're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Trump's weekend visit to Saudi Arabia and on to Israel. And if anybody would like to comment in the last segment of the program today, they can give us a call at 844-769-2944. What do you think about it? Is it a good thing, bad thing? Doesn't matter.
Another thing.
Doesn't matter thing. Doesn't matter thing. Or is it just another thing to talk about? I watched some of it, and I get these, I'm not sure how to react to it. And you know, it was interesting because I saw videos of when they were doing that sword dance. And I saw Priebus, and I saw Bannon, and you know, a couple of other ones. They were just standing around while all these guys in their gowns and so forth were dancing. It was weird. I thought it was weird. And but I'll tell you what, Bannon and Priebus, they really did look uncomfortable. It was just like, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. You know, I don't want to join in on dancing with a bunch of men. And I don't know,
Do they have dancing with the swords over there? They don't have dancing with the stars. It's dancing with the swords.
You know, but I didn't see the part where Trump was banishing his sword and so forth. But he seemed to enjoy it, of course. And so I don't know. To me, it's creepy. You know, I thought that whole visit was creepy. And I'm really not sure. I saw a copy of the complete transcript. I was reading his speech. I was reading it right before the program. I didn't get a chance to finish it. But, you know, a couple of the comments. We can go into that later. But that's what, you know, if you have a comment, if you think it's a good thing, bad thing, doesn't matter thing, give us a call. And we'd like to hear your brief comment. There wasn't anything brief about gold today. We had a decent day. Gold was higher today, up 660. 660 for, I'm sorry. It was at 660. Now we're looking at 470. 470 for gold at 1260, 130. Silver did good, up 30 cents today at 1724. Platinum was up 9 at 952. Palladium was up 13 at $774. The USDX today was weaker by 0.14 at 96.97. I do believe it was lower than that earlier in the day, but currently we're looking at 96.97. Crude oil was up 40 cents at 50.81. And the paper markets today, I guess they enjoyed the dancing in Saudi Arabia. The markets were up. Still a few changes after the market, but the Dow was up 90 points, 20,894. The NASDAQ was up 50 at 61.33, and the S&P was up 12 at 23.94. 10-year yield, 2.25%, and the euro course was higher at 0.25 at 1.12. European markets, very little change in Asia and overseas markets. Tomorrow, I do believe they are going to release the budget. The plan is, Donald Trump's plan is to propose a $1.7 trillion in cuts to a category of spending that includes major social and entitlement programs for lower income Americans. This is to take place within a decade. It's supposed to help balance the budget within a decade. The White House will issue a formal budget request tomorrow, and that includes $274 billion in cuts over 10 years to means-tested anti-poverty programs. including food stamps. This is according to a Republican congressional aide and a White House document that was obtained by Bloomberg News. The upcoming budget request for fiscal 2018, which include dropping the top individual tax rate to 35%. Trump's proposal will also call for $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, the health program for the poor. This budget continues to reveal, it's just Democratic slur. Let's see if there's anything else interested in there. He is proposing to cut $193 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is the food stamps program. This is over the next 10 years. The cuts, which would amount to an approximately 25% reduction, would be achieved in part by limiting eligibility for food stamps and by requiring work. Which, you know what, that's how any of these programs should be. You know, if you work, you shouldn't be penalized. And that's what they do. They take away the incentive of work, saying if you go out and make a few bucks, then your programs get cut a little bit. Well, you know what? How about helping people go to work, you know, and gradually, you know, cut them once they get on their feet and so forth. But, of course, it doesn't work that way. Let's see if there's anything else that's kind of interesting in that. Well, we'll get the rest of it tomorrow, but that's just a brief peek into the 2018 budget proposal. So it probably won't be embraced very much by the Democrats. $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, that's a big cut, almost $1 trillion. And
yeah, but it's over 10 years, isn't
it? It's over 10 years.
$80 billion a year.
Still, it's still quite a bit, but
yeah, but that was 1 month of quantitative easing back just a couple of years ago. They were doing $80 billion a year, or a month, excuse me.
Yeah, and that was going into the pockets of the bankers and
of course
multinational corporations and so forth. So
you can't just cut these costs and
keep these systems
and keep them
going
in the U.S. Treasury. You've got to give them to people who deserve them, Melody.
It's just like where they should have left it.
A third,
you know, but then that isn't to say it was right that they were doing it, you know. But so we'll have to see a little bit more about tomorrow. And you know, he did mention during the campaign he wasn't going to touch Medicaid. Well, he is. Just like there's a lot of things that, and you know, I just don't know what to make of it. You know, just like during
his
campaign,
it's dangerous at this point in time. You know, I've got a couple articles here. We can do them now, do them later. But there are increasing number of threats of violence against members of the Republican Party. And there's a movement. I mean, some of these people are frothing at the mouth to have Trump impeached. If he comes up with a budget that cuts Medicare and entitlements, even if
Medicaid,
talks about doing it the next 50 years, it's just going to antagonize people that are already off the board. I don't know. They're really strange things that are happening right now. And you want to do it now or you want to wait later in the program?
I just had some things about, you know, there was an article by Justin Raimondo, and he talked about the visit. He called Donald's trip to the Saudis a disgusting spectacle. And he talks about, you know, some of the things that he said during the campaign. He's saying the exact opposite of, you know, the things that he said over there to them. So it is like what he said to get elected really doesn't mean anything. I'm sure there was promises about the health care, the big things, I get that. But yet there was a lot of other things that he said that moved people to vote for him. And yet there's so it is disturbing to see.
What's disturbing about this is there's nothing he can do other than slit his own wrists to appeal to the people on the left. The only way he's going to do anything, and I don't think he can accommodate those people. I don't think he can turn this country into a common. Well, regardless if he's backing up on some of the pledges he made that helped him get elected, then he is effectively abandoning ideas that should have antagonized the left. And in doing so, he's going to antagonize his own base. He'll never placate the left. I don't believe they'll ever. That will ever say, you know, Don's okay.
No.
You know, I thought he was a bad guy, but he's a pretty good guy. I don't think that's going to happen with the left. They are, they're ferocious in their antagonism for the man. But what he risks doing with this kind of foolishness is he's going to lose his base that got him elected in the first place. He's going to alienate them, and then he's going to be standing there all alone. I mean, he's caught in a war right now, and he is perhaps, at least if we can believe the reports that you've just had here, if that's accurate information and he's backtracking on some of his election campaign promises, it sounds like he's going to try to straddle a fence, and it's probably the most dangerous place he can be.
Well, it's not even just the promises, but things that he said. He said during the campaign, and these are quotes, Saudi Arabia and many of the countries that gave vast amounts of money to the Clinton Foundation.
Yep.
They want women as slaves and to kill gays. Hillary must return all money from such countries. Tell Saudi Arabia and others that we want demand-free oil for the next 10 years, or we will not protect their private Boeing 747s. Pay up. Now you have his son-in-law, Kushner, is calling up Lockheed Martin to get discounts for the Saudis. He's personally brokering the biggest arms deal in U.S. history.
Yep.
The old Trump said that the Saudis were mouthpieces, bullies, cowards. Now he's dancing with them, who were paying ISIS. But now they're our partners in the war on terrorism. Why, it seems like only yesterday that he was calling out Saudi's princes like Alawi bin Talal for thinking they could control our U.S. politicians. Today he's kowtowing to them. So, you know, it is kind of makes you wonder, how can you be so different? And maybe we've seen this in other politicians in the past, but a lot of people voted for him thinking he was who he was saying he was during the campaign. And it's coming out that, well, maybe
he's whoever he has to be.
You have the Saudis. They have invaded nearby Yemen. They're slaughtering children and women. They're going hungry. They're dying of hunger, and they're doing it with the U.S. assistance. So I mean, it's just like, you know, yes, this started with under Obama, but it's being continued and beefed up under Trump. So it's like now there's going to be some sort of possibly an Arab NATO, if that even comes to fruition. I mean, but who's going to be paying the defense bills?
We will.
Exactly.
NATO.
So, I mean, it's all these things, it just makes me very uncomfortable. A couple of things that he was talking about also, he says it's not about our religion. Hello, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yep.
They don't have the same God we have, okay? That's a Christian has. And
they have a completely different set of principles, and as long as they're serious about their faith, they will never be assimilated. Right? They can't be assimilated. This isn't a situation where you can sit back and say, well, I'm a Christian, and then over there is a Muslim, and we can all sit around, sing Kumbaya, you do your thing and I do mine. They are bound, you give them, wherever they become anything like a majority, they compel others, you'll join their faith or you'll lose your head. That, you know, the essence of the Christian idea is you get to choose your choices. It's on you. If you choose to embrace the Messiah, then you can be saved. And if you choose not to, okay. But it's up to you. You have that choice. But in the Muslim faith, you don't have any choice at all. You're going to go with Allah or you're going to lose your head. And I won't say that's true for every Muslim in the world. I don't, but it appears to be fundamental principle in the Muslim faith. There is no choice. And it's part of the reason why you see demonstrations where there will be Muslims holding up signs and they say, to hell with freedom. They mean they don't want to have a choice. They demand obedience. Right? You don't get a choice. You don't get to, you've got your own opinion. Are you crazy? And it is a completely different faith. And this is not compatible with the Christian faith. I don't know that it's compatible. I don't know how many faiths there are in the world that it's compatible with. It certainly doesn't identify it. It doesn't believe itself to be compatible. It believes itself to be the one true faith, and you will serve Allah or you will die. And that seems to be, you know, the attitude, at least whenever they are in a majority. When they're in a minority, they just sit back and breed. When there's enough of them being a majority, then they kill everybody who's around them. Now, I'm exaggerating to perhaps an unreasonable extent, but it's not a lie. All right, there is truth. There is some truth in what I'm trying to describe here, and they're never going to assimilate here any more than they're going to assimilate into Europe. What's going to happen? Europeans have allowed these Muslim immigrants to come in because they're allegedly refugees. Those refugees are violent, raping, not interested in working, take all the free money they can get, make demands on the people that are living in that country. If the Europeans don't grow a pair and get a couple of brain cells functioning properly, where they learn and to protect themselves and their culture and their nations, they're not going to do that. They're going to cease to exist. Europe's going to become a Muslim continent. And I'm not talking about 100 years from now. We could be talking in a decade or two. I wouldn't say a decade, but two decades, entirely possible.
He's also he announced that a new global center for combating extremist ideology is to be opened in the kingdom, which is from this article is the world, which is in itself the world capital of extremists. Ideology have done more to spread religious hatred than any country on the planet. Yep. You know, so so many of this is just made me. And then with his visit going from here to Israel, everyone's going to forget about this trip because everybody's going to be praising him for going to Israel. And it's just like, and you know, now then he's going to go to Rome to visit the Pope. Well, you know, the Pope's not real fond. you know, because if we remember the situation during the campaign, you know, it was a tit and tat back and forth between Trump and the Pope. So I don't know. He's just not the one.
He has
one
an opportunity to alienate all three major religions.
He's
right
just
now.
Not the one that I could appoint to see a religious voyage. You know what I'm saying?
No, but we can clarify as soon as we get back from a couple of commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we'll be right back on Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Did you want to try to explain what you're talking about, Melody?
Well, you know,
we dug that hole deep enough.
It's pretty deep, but let me put a cover over. I just want to say I just didn't see him as the person to sort of make a to bring three major religions.
Nobody was going to bring those religions.
I mean, not even to, but even represent one of them. To me, he's not a religious man.
I don't think so either.
And to make this type of a trip in the beginning of his presidency is just like, huh? It's just creepy.
Yeah, I know.
It's just creepy.
It's something.
There's wrong.
You know,
there's
it's like, what's he going to do? He's got one speech that he can deliver to Saudi Arabia. He could deliver that same speech to Israel. All he has to do is go in on the sentences where they say he's going to do something, and he just says he's not going to do it. Add the word not, all right? In those sentences that are positive, change them. And in the ones where he says he's not going to do something for Saudi Arabia, say now when he delivers that same speech to India, say, yes, I am going to do this, all right? He'll be doing it for Israel. But, you know, people elected Trump because they thought he had character, meaning, and a kind of integrity, where he would stand and he'd, you know, stand with his back to the wall if he had to, and he was going to fight for what he thought was right no matter what. And it does, can't be really a surprise, but it does appear that maybe that's not the case. And on top of which, I'm not all that convinced. I wasn't concerned about whether the man was strongly intelligent or not. I didn't expect him to be a dummy. I don't expect he is. But I get the impression that he's not up to the task. I think it would make better sense, rather than him to go gallivanting around in Air Force One, make better sense. Send Mike Pence out on these missions to foreign countries, and send the Secretary of State and the rest of it. I don't know. I get the impression that Trump is not going to do well in these foreign arenas. And I think after he's there a while, there are going to be people that may even come to view him with contempt, in the same sense that a lot of people, foreigners, came to view Obama with contempt. So we'll watch and see. I don't know. Is any man up to this task anymore? Is anyone really big enough, strong enough, smart enough to be president of the United States?
Well, his son-in-law, I think, will be dealing, because he's been spending a lot of time with Saudi Arabia in order to make these deals to go through. So there's a lot that his son-in-law is doing that I don't think anybody really knows to the degree that he's doing it.
Well, is he giving things away? Is the reason that Trump is coming up with this package, this extraordinary weapons package, is this because this is Trump's idea, or did Jared come up with this?
It's Jared.
Is this something that Jared cut the deal and Trump said, all right, whatever the kid says, we'll do that?
It's my understanding a lot of it is Jared.
Well, it's something
that
to watch
he's been spending
see,
a lot of time over demands. There between Israel and Saudi Arabia, that Jared Kushner should be getting a lot of the credit for,
the
big
blame.
Deals. Well, he won't get the blame, but he'll, you know, Trump will take the credit and he'll take the blame, even though somebody else is doing it. But, the Secretary of State, Tillerson, I mean, he had press conferences over there, and the U.S. reporters weren't even invited. And I do have problems with that. That's not to say I'm pro U.S. reporters and things like that, and, you know, that I think that they're doing a great job. I don't. But on the other hand, I think there should be some U.S. Reporters in some of these speeches and so forth that are given, and they shouldn't be exclusive just to the state in which you're visiting. You know, there's, you know, so I don't know. It just gives me a bad feeling. But the U.S. technology and engineering conglomerate, GE, we all know who GE is, they said on Saturday it signed already a $15 billion deal with the Saudis. Wow. As part of the kingdom drive to diversify its economy beyond oil. Well, if it's trying to diversify its economy beyond oil, what happens to the petrodollar? And not only, there were dozens of senior U.S. business executives that went along on this trip that I didn't know that was going along, but dozens of senior U.S. business executives met with Saudi counterparts as a conference coinciding with the visit.
Well, then what we're really seeing here is President Trump, is he the President of the United States or President of the Chamber of Commerce? Is he orchestrating a little junket to go over here and see if you can cut some deals? I mean, I don't know.
The agreements, which involve almost $7 billion of goods and services from GE itself, range from the power and healthcare sectors to the oil and gas industry, mining. Some of the deals are memorandums of understanding, which would require further agreements to materialize. And, you know, we do know that the Saudis have a tendency not to, you know, go along with what they say. They back out of their deals and so forth.
Sound like American politicians.
Yes, pretty much.
And just like the Republicans.
GE will help the Saudi power generation more efficient and provide digital technology to the operations of oil firm Saudi Aramco, aiming to create, and remember, they now own the biggest refinery in the U.S., aiming to create $4 billion of annual productivity improvements. It will cooperate in medical research and training. So, the big John Hopkins here, hospital in Baltimore, they're owned by the Arabs, pretty much. When my cousin was in there, I think I relayed this story to Al, when my cousin was in there, I was leaving, taking the cab back to the hotel, and there was this big, streets were shut down, there was just this entourage of cars, ambulances. I mean, there had to have been 13 various vehicles. The cab driver said to me, oh, they're going to the John Hopkins Hospital. It must be a king or something coming to the U.S. for treatment. Mm. He says, you get U.S. senators, they come in a taxi. He says, but the American politicians come to the hospital in taxis. He says, but the hospital is basically owned by the Saudis. He says, it might have a U.S. name. He says, but it is run by the Saudis. So
just in case, the king needs a new heart, fly him over to Johns Hopkins, and he may have a nice selection. We'll watch and see.
So when I saw that in there about the medical research, that's what made me think of Johns Hopkins and training. So
I'm glad we're talking about Donald Trump, and he certainly gets his fair share of negative publicity. In fact, there's an article I saw today that calculated that 90% of the articles coming from major news sources are critical of Trump. And it was evidence, I think it came out of Harvard, and it was evidence of bias against him and the rest of that sort of thing. We'll maybe get to that tomorrow. But here's an article that just absolutely astonishes me. This is so stupid. It is the sort of thing I would expect from a very unintelligent eighth grader. Right? This is dumb. This is from International Business Times, a seemingly respectable publication. And the headline is, car rams into Tel Aviv crowd just as Donald Trump arrives in the city. Has Donald Trump landed on the runway in Tel Aviv, there was drama on the streets of the city after a car drove into a busy crowd. At least 5 people have been injured, 2 seriously, near Nachek Binyamin Mall. It was later described as an accident, but tensions have been running high in the country ahead of Trump's visit. This is like saying, I woke up at 6 a.m. this morning and the guy across the street died. And they're blaming me implicitly. They're saying, well, when Al got up, this guy died. There's no correlation. Trump arrived at the airport and they had an automobile accident out in the street someplace out in the city. They are simply trying to create a correlation between Trump, his arrival, and car wrecks. The whole thing is bizarre. It's insane. It's so stupid. I mean, I wouldn't expect an eighth grader to be able to get away with this in any kind of a journalism class or anything else. And yet here we have International Business Times trying to make a correlation between Trump arrives and they have car wrecks. It's crazy. Are they going to give Trump credit for not having car wrecks after he leaves? It's just evidence of the negative press. We've made jokes about this before. I was joking about Trump. He had Cheerios for breakfast. And people are going, oh, my God, he had Cheerios for breakfast. The world's coming to an end. This is the same thing. I'm making jokes out of this. And yet you see something like this. You see it. It's bizarre. What else do we have, Melody?
What's your point?
Well, my point is the news is just so stupid.
It is crazy.
It's just,
it really
is. They're trying to blame Trump.
It's true. For everything.
You know, if Trump snores at night, it's the reason they have an avalanche. And they have an avalanche in Switzerland. Trump was snoring, and then an avalanche killed 27 people in Switzerland. It doesn't correspond. There's no correlation. And yet here they are doing it in the headline of the newspaper and in this little brief article besides. They're trying to blame the accident, implicitly blame it on tensions that are running high because Trump is coming to visit.
You know what's interesting this morning? I mean, it is bizarre the way they're reporting. And I mean, they have really gone, you know. But I turned on the news this morning, and I was expecting to see his visit to Israel and so forth. And they were still talking about Comey firing, what, 2 weeks ago now? Yeah. It's like, give it up. And I mean, they spent maybe five, and I couldn't stand it anymore. I shut it off. Finally, 20 minutes later, I came back, and they were finally talking about Israel. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. The first 20 minutes of the program, they were talking about Comey's firing.
And you know what they're doing there?
It's like, get over it.
It's not just a question to get over it. It's a question of they are just hammering and hammering and hammering, and it doesn't matter if there's any truth behind it or not.
No,
they're just going to say it and say it and say it until the world agrees with them. So, well, there must be, you see all that smoke, there must be fire there someplace. I mean, they're just going to say it and 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 say it until the world agrees that Trump needs to be impeached, even though there may not be any evidence to support that contention. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, it's insulting, it's scary, because it indicates that there are people in power and who are running these newspapers who really believe that they can change public opinion to reflect what they want, even if the facts are contrary to the opinion they're supporting. They're just going to tell all the dummies what to believe, and the dummies will believe it.
Yeah, but you know
obey.
What? The bad thing about it is they're doing it to someone who actually opens the door to allow them to do it. And that's, you know, it doesn't help the situation. You know, and I'm not sticking up for I'm sticking up for Trump in this respect, but still, as his character, his personality is one to where he opens the door and allows this to happen. And, but yeah, you're absolutely correct. They just don't let it go. And they're
going to make you believe it, whether it's true or false.
Well, Mika Brzezinski, we know all her daddy, and you know they're one of the elites. You know, she says we're here to control what you think.
Yeah.
Admittedly, on air, our job is to control what you think.
You know, on one level, if you want to control what I think, all right. Try to be a little bit persuasive and a little bit subtle, where I at least think I might have an idea of my own once in a while. You know, but they're getting out there and say, "You must believe this. You must believe this." Good God! I mean, the establishment is coming off as if they were as strident as a bunch of Muslims. The Muslims say you must believe in Allah. The establishment says you must believe in the establishment. You must believe. You must believe. Come on, how about you let us do a little of our own thinking, or at least promote your ideas in a way that are persuasive rather than compulsory. Oh. Got an article here from Breitbart. Republicans face violence, death threats from left-wing activists. That's the headlines. Republicans going home to talk to their constituents are facing violence and death threats, with some lawmakers upping security at town hall events, a consequence of a culture of violence being fostered by left-wing activists and their allies in the liberal media. Using similar tactics to Antifa, activists opposing conservative speakers on college campuses, some anti-Trump activists are disrupting events and even resorting to threats and acts of violence. And they go on and they list a number of congressmen that have been threatened, and I won't get into those particularly, but then we've got another one. Here's one from Constitution.com. Sunday, July 2nd, that's Sunday, yeah, I just said that, July 2nd, there will be anti-Trump riots planned by new fascists. Now, that's hyperbolic. That's a hyperbolic headline, and maybe it's, I don't doubt that the fundamental idea is true, but maybe it's a little more extreme than what we need. But it said militant leftists in the nation are not going down without a fight, and new actions planned for July 2nd could spark nationwide unrest. From day one, anti-Trump and Trump liberals have been working to undermine and delegitimize Trump's presidency. They described the new fascist movement that was instigated in Berkeley, California in February that spread nearly nationwide. They say now leftist thugs are planning massive demonstrations for July 2nd in order to push their agenda of impeachment against Donald Trump. Given the violence that has been regularly occurring during similarly planned liberal protests, we can expect nothing short of a riot from the black bloc factions of the left. I'm not sure that that's true. I think that may be, again, more hyperbole. But people are stirring the pot. You understand? And somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to sit down and cool down and say, wait a second, we're going to have to get reasonable about this, because both sides. We've even got Al Green, a Democrat. He's being threatened. He's a black guy. He's being threatened for trying to impeach Trump. There are people that are making death threats to him also. Both sides of the political spectrum are throwing these death threats around. And I don't mean everybody. It's a handful, maybe on both sides. That's all. But this is being hyped and pumped. And what I'm saying is people had better get themselves under control, or something horrendous is going to happen, and we are all going to regret it. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from Conservative Tribune, and the headline is, Comey Memos Turned Out to Be Just Something Somebody Thought They Saw. On Tuesday, and this is back, well, New York Post fired a shot heard around the world when it claimed President Donald Trump had asked former FBI Director James Comey to shut down the federal investigation into former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's contacts with the Russians and with the Russian and Turkish governments. According to the writer of the story, Michael Schmidt, the exchange was all written down in a memo by Comey after a meeting with Trump. I mean allegedly. And the memo was read off to him over the phone. Oh, wait, no. Not quite read off. His source saw it, meaning he saw the memo, and vouchsafed for its authenticity, but he didn't remember the exact wording. Schmidt was interviewed on MSNBC by Brian Williams, who asked Schmidt about his sources. And Schmidt said, I'd been working on a story for the past few days about the fact that Comey had written these memos. In the process, I learned more about one of these memos. And someone, he doesn't name them, someone who had seen them recounted details to me. We felt comfortable with those details. One thing, in journalism, typically you're supposed to get two witnesses, two sources to verify with whatever you're trying to present. All right, he's saying he'll get someone. He did not say we have several people. He's got someone, and apparently they felt comfortable with the details, which were just read to him over the phone. Didn't see the memo, apparently. If the story is true, as it's being presented by the Conservative Tribune, this guy Schmidt didn't actually see Comey's memos, right? And they're saying, we said we felt comfortable with those details. And the article says, comfortable how? Comfortable that you could increase ad revenue for the New York Times by printing unfounded details about their possible existence and contents? Comfortable that you, your allies in the liberal mainstream media wouldn't question your credibility the way they should? Comfortable that you couldn't do anything more damage to your journalistic integrity than being employed by the New York Times that already being employed by the New York Times that already done? Well, as it turns out, he was right on all counts, apparently. Now, point, I don't know what the truth is about the memo. All right? I wasn't there, don't know, didn't see. But it is, somebody's going to have to produce this memo. And maybe it's already been produced. But then if it is, then somebody's got to stop saying, you know, this article, Conservative Tribune. If there is a memo and it supports Schmidt's contention and Comey's and the allegations made by Comey. All right, let's get to the truth of this. And what is offensive, and we talked about this earlier on the program, we have these people that are just screaming and screaming and screaming, and they seem to think that's all they need to do is just keep on screaming and everybody's going to believe them. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, I don't know how many people are going to fall for this. But people who have a little bit of intelligence, no matter how small a minority that may be, they need to sit back and say, look, this is a bunch of crap. You can't just win these arguments by yelling and screaming and just insisting and insisting and insisting, regardless of what the facts are. I'm hoping that this memo gets out where everybody can see it and everybody agrees what the substance of the memo is. And maybe it's already out there and I just haven't seen it myself, but the place, everything is just becoming just shrill and people are shrieking and nobody cares about what the truth of the matter is. Or at least not many people do. You know, there's the violence that we see associated with the Democratic Party right now, elements of the Democratic Party. I'm not saying all Democrats, but I have not heard any significant figure in the Democratic Party stand up and say, look, this violence has got to stop. We've got people threatening to kill people, right? People are making threats on people's lives. They're threatening their families. They're threatening their children. This is insane. Someone in a position of authority, some responsible person, like Hillary, for example, should stand up and say, look, ladies and gentlemen, I know you're good Democrats and you mean well, but you got to stop this. They are showing themselves to be the party of the thugs. And if no one in the party is going to try to balance that tendency, that inclination, they are going to do enormous harm to the Democrat Party. And the only way they're going to be able to function in the future is just by beating people up and killing people, kind of like the former communists that took over the Soviet, what became the Soviet Union. There is danger around here right now. And what is required, in my opinion, is people need to, you know, check themselves. This is bad business. And what is really bizarre is the people who are threatening to shoot and arrest that sort of thing are in many regards the weakest and least organized people in the country. And if push really comes to shove, they're the ones that are vulnerable on this. You know, it's like me taking a gun and going in and seeing if I can start a gunfight in a bar that's frequented by the local police department. That's a dumb idea. You know, you've got to use some sense, and there are people who are not using sense right now. And there's a possibility something's going to happen on July 2nd. That's a Sunday. Well, probably not. It'll probably be a flop, and this claim that there's going to be nationwide demonstrations and possible riots and arrestment, probably going to turn out you'll have a group of 15 or 20 people in Chicago and 50 in L.A. or something like that, and maybe that's the way it'll work out. But we've got a month. Got a month before that day. And if the media wants to wind this thing up and they can get everybody hot and bothered in the meantime, hard to say what is going to happen, what could happen. More than likely, I think it'll be a flop for the left. It'll be a failure for them. It'll be a humiliating failure. But you can't help but be concerned. And you can't help but sit back and say, well, on Sunday, July 2nd, I'm going to stay in a place where I feel reasonably safe. I don't think I'm going to be driving down the streets. I don't think I'm going to be going anywhere. I'm going to probably just hunker down at home, and who knows? Nothing will happen. Well, it'll give me a chance to catch up on my sleep. But something's happening. We are polarized, and both sides are ready to shoot, are at least talking about killing each other. And I don't mean everybody, but some, handful, on both sides. But maybe that's all it takes. It's dangerous times. So,
Well, you know what? And the media is just building the frenzy.
I know. They're fanning the flames on this thing.
You know, it's... And it doesn't matter which side you're on. And it's, you know, something... What I've always... You know, things do come to a head. They do peak. And usually at someone's expense.
Yeah.
So it's... you know, if everybody's got to cool down and... You know, it really is amazing. I mean, Pence did, Vice President Pence spoke at one of the, I can't recall which college, just this weekend. And there was 100 or so students who walked out. They did it, they did it quietly. They did it, you know, there was no shouting and, you know, fighting, and they wanted to, you know, show their opinion, and they got up and they walked out of the commencement. You know, it's, do they have the right to do that?
Yeah, I think they do, but it's a bad choice. It's an unfortunate choice. I won't say it's a bad choice. I'll say it's an unfortunate choice. Where it all breaks down is when we become uncivil. You know, everybody, you know, and it, when you can't tell for sure whether it's good or bad that they walked out until we get a few years deeper into the Trump administration to find out, is this good, bad, are they right or wrong? When people start threatening to shoot, right?
I'm not talking not about having, that. That's not what they were talking. That's not what they
no,
did.
No, I know. That's not what they were. That's you know, not what and, they were. You know,
no, one should be, no one should be doing that. No one should be threatening anybody's lives. They you know, it shouldn't. It's, you shouldn't be calling fire in the movie theater. I mean, but, you know, for these students to walk out. See, I sort of disagree. I think if they wanted to voice their opinion afterwards, it should have been after the commencement, or don't go. Just don't go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the school should have rules. You know, this, I'm sure the school does have, the university does have rules.
You walk out, you get busted back to a sophomore.
Nobody cares about rules anymore, doing the right thing, even though you might. It's all about me. Everybody, it's it, not me personally, but, you know, it's... And it just hasn't happened overnight. It's been years of conditioning. Many years of conditioning to get to this point. And so you think, well, did we get to this point by choice, or has it just happened? No, folks. You know, I do believe there's an agenda out there. And I do believe that, you know, minds are messed with in various ways. And,
you know, the problem you got, though, Melody, is if you can control people's thoughts, what good are they? Right? If it's possible, if I'm sitting there in a position of power and I can get a bunch of people to believe that the moon is made out of green cheese, how much help can those people actually provide? They're idiots. You understand?
They're not
I mean,
idiots.
But when it's really just blatant, you're just as blatant as it seems to be. Hey, all the idiots, come over here and join us. I don't know. Can we accomplish anything with 100 million idiots?
I don't think they're idiots, number one, because that's what mind control is all about. I mean, you don't know it's being done to you. You know, and some people, I always question, Melody. Why are there people like you and me, our listeners, why is there a group of people that see the truth? You know, personally, I believe the majority of us that see the truth is because of our faith. And that opens our eyes to where we do see things and we understand things. You lose that faith and you easily succumb to, you know, the evil and because you have to remember, I believe we are at that plane. It is evil versus good. You can call it politics. You can call it whatever you want. But ultimately, it is that good versus evil. So, I don't know. I don't mean to, you know, get off on something like this, you know, this type of discussion. But
we live in interesting times. And it's
and
the kind of discussion
various,
that is as uncomfortable
IQs.
As it may make people.
And there's a lot of things. You have various IQ levels. You have people who are on medications. You do
I get
have,
that. But
so
I'm just saying,
easily,
you want to recruit.
People are easily influenced.
Well, what good are they for you? I mean, if you're trying to organize, we're going to have a war here, and I want to recruit all the people whose minds can be changed that fast. If I can change them, somebody else can do. If I can give mind control, somebody else can do the same thing. What kind of character do they have? It's just a question of who's running the media, the instruments, whatever. I mean, again, if you can make them think one way, I can make them think another way. And I wonder, what is the value of such people? You know, they have no character, no integrity. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they're weak people. Do we really want to recruit those people? I don't know.
Well... That's,
apparently so. Apparently yeah, they do. They probably know more about us than I do. But it's it's just strange, curious, curious, and curiouser and curiouser. And the world is, you know, becoming increasingly unstable. And we see evidence of it, not just in this country. We see it around the world.
We didn't talk about gold during this program, but these are all the reasons why you need to be owning gold and silver, and you can't get caught up in the fake world, the fake world that isn't real. You know, like the paper markets, they're at highs. How much higher can they go? But yet you got huge rooms, the fundamentals for gold and silver. And it isn't just, gold and silver just isn't about event planning, you know, for that one major black swan event that's coming tomorrow and you end up planning for that. Gold is so much more than that. It protects your purchasing power every single day. That's why you buy gold and silver, to protect your wealth. It is the insurance policy. And when that event comes along, you're covered. You just don't buy it for, you know, that one hurricane that's coming to you, to even though you're living in a hurricane route, and you only purchase, you know, hurricane insurance when it's being reported on the news. No, you buy it and you hold it because the fundamentals, you know, you're in that route. Those hurricanes are just bound to come, and so is gold and silver. Those financial calamity that we're facing.
And political problems. It's not just financial.
It's all
there are
combined.
Political problems. Everything is, it's
the
like the perfect storm. We are coming upon a perfect
situations.
Storm.
Absolutely.
So, and knowing that we are coming on a political, we are coming on a perfect storm, good time to give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. We're out of time. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.